Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
All right, well, Coach is not here right now because his phone isn't working. So hopefully join in.
Doesn't have to go through this.
There he is. We got him.
Hey, I bet you're the only one that rushes that to go through this. Finally found a solid internet that I could hang on.
That's debatable, Coach. It's debatable.
He's trying.
We'll give him an A for effort this morning.
It's all tracking.
We can't hear you. Hey, JR, you mind talking about what's happening in Charlotte?
Can you hear me okay, guys? You can? Thumbs up if you're...
All right.
What do you got?
All right. Hey, JR, tell us about Charlotte. You were... Oh, here we go. Maybe we got it.
Hey. Are you hearing me now, fellas?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got you now.
Unbelievable, man. I'm telling you, Rush Limbaugh doesn't have to go through this stuff. I'm going to have to find me some new producers or something. I look back at my car. There we go. Hey, there's a little bit of sunlight. You can even see me. Okay, now we're going to get situated here, boys. You don't know what I've been going through trying to get us on the air, live and in color from a hidden bunker someplace where there's palm trees. Coach Dave, I had to run clear to my car. The internet where we're staying sucks. Am I allowed to use that word? It sucks. And so I ran to another building. And the internet's better in that other building, but there were people sitting on the back porch and they didn't like me making noise at 7 a.m, whatever it is. So I jumped in my car, drove my car around. And when I jumped around in my car, my Bluetooth in the car picked up my voice on the radio. And then it shut the voice off. So that's what's going on here. But I'm alive and well and ready to roll here. I actually think I'm holding my camera upside down. Can I do a flip on you? There we go. There we go. World's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. Pass the salt. Jared's got his face covered. He's embarrassed by this production. I'm not going to tell you where I am because I don't have the Secret Service with me here. Look at this thing. There we go. No, come on. Don't have the Secret Service with me here today, but relaxing, doing a little bit of relaxing time. Why won't this thing flip? I'll go ahead and hold it like that for a minute if that'll work. Holy smokes. What's going on down Charlotte? Remember we talked yesterday about it's all about chaos? It's all about chaos. And what do we find out now? That the guy who killed the guy down in Charlotte was a black cop, right? The cop's black? The police chief's black? Entire city council's black? Charlotte's 25% black? Now, down in the city of Charlotte, let me get this straight. Somebody help me out here if I'm wrong. You can't have NCAA football, basketball, any sports down there because of homos. And you can't have anybody shoot anybody down there because they're black. So what we see going on is a complete and total, there we go, divisions. Chaos. Chaos is reigning everywhere. And I said to somebody yesterday, I saw this on the news, and again, I don't know if you can see from my red nose, and spending a little bit of time on the beach. But I read somewhere yesterday that my brain just switched off on me. Man, I'm distracted. Here we go. It's chaos. It's all chaos. That's what they're trying to get us to do is get trapped in the chaos of ISIS and Black Lives Matter and homos and war and everything. I'm telling you guys, something unbelievably big is going on around us. And as we spoke, those of us who are in the know, we got to begin trying to tell as many people as we know that something big and bad is going on. Larry, how's the fuel stuff down there in Atlanta? You know, we were talking yesterday about part of the chaos. Now we got fuel problems. You guys getting gas today?
Yeah, there's not much regular left, but what is left just keeps costing more and more. That some places will jack the price up 3 times during the day yesterday.
The world's not going to come to an end down there in Charlotte because of I've got my finger of that now. Trouble here, and it's on my end, I'm sure. I want to talk to you a little bit about today about imprecatory prayer. Imprecatory prayers. Anybody know what imprecatory prayer is? Put your thumb up if you don't. Don't worry about it if you don't. Imprecatory prayer. Well, imprecatory prayer, I've heard it likened. I'm walking a little bit. I'm trying to find a stronger signal where I can hear a little bit better. I've likened imprecatory prayer, or I haven't likened it. Others have likened it to casting spells. As crazy as that sounds. And it comes back to what we've spoken about so many times here on the show. Action of a Christian man. Are we to love everybody? Does God love everybody? Does God have any enemies at all? Are we to love everybody no matter what the situation they find themselves in? And is there really a spiritual war going on? Do we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places? And I think it was earlier this week or maybe at the end of the last week. I'm sorry about the jiggling. I'll try to find a place to settle down here and get this thing solid here in a minute. We're talking about that spiritual war and the fact that when Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, or when Jesus talked about casting out demons, it really wasn't something foreign to them. They understood the spiritual warfare and the spiritual realm. And they said in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. Excuse me. They understood what that meant. And somehow, somewhere here along in modern Christianity, in fact, when all of the demons are busting out for us to see, when in the movies, you know, in the music, when they're on TV, when everywhere we look, there's demonic activity taking place. We, the modern church today, don't believe it. We don't believe in the demonic. I'm going to try to go back here a little bit because I'm jiggling, probably making Mike sick. He already mentioned I might make him sick. We don't believe in the demonic. Yet if you go back and you read the Old Testament, in fact, we're going to go to Daniel here in a minute, Jared. I think it was one of the links I sent you. Daniel 10, I want to show you something in there. Hey, guys, listen. Hillary's going down. JR, I still got that Coke bet with you. Hillary's going down. Now, they tried to show us yesterday that the polls have changed now, and goodness, thank goodness, because the polls have changed, that Hillary's up 3 or up 6 or something like that. You don't believe that, do you? You don't believe that? I'm down here in Florida. I drive around. I see Trump signs. I don't see Hillary signs. Trump has these great big rallies. I had a big rally yesterday in Cleveland. My buddy J.C. Church was there, J.R. I don't know if you saw that sitting right behind Trump. The evangelicals are running to Trump faster than – it's amazing. Blacks are now flooding. They have Don King yesterday. Don King. You remember him of Muhammad Ali days? Don King's from Cleveland. Don King yesterday introduced Trump. Trump was surrounded again yesterday by blacks. we now see that, according to the latest polls, Donald Trump's vote among the blacks is bordering almost 30% now. Almost 30%. Yet Hillary is winning, they tell us. There's just all kinds of spiritual confusion that's going on, and those who are in power are doing everything they can to hold on to the power. But those of us who are on past the salt, even when it's not easy to see me, we understand that this is a spiritual battle. I'm going to take you this morning, if I can, see if I set the phone down here, if that will help. Yeah, that'll help me a little bit. Let's go to Daniel 10. I'm going to put my glasses on, and somebody's going to have to read it for me, because, again, on my screen, it's a little bit too small. I believe, Big Rich, do you have that? Could you read that for us there, Big Rich?
I don't have it in front of me.
You have it there on your screen? Man, I can't hear anything on my end. I'm sure it's on my end.
I can read it.
I can't hear Rich at all.
Where am I starting?
So, Rich, I'm going to do my best, buddy, to try to listen to you as you read it. Jared, if you underline it like you always do, I can follow along. I can't even hardly see it.
Here, I can read it. Can you
hear me? There you go. Can you read it, Rich? Did you say yes?
Yes.
No?
I can do it. This is Jared.
Jared, you go ahead and read it for us, Tim. But...
All right, Daniel chapter 10.
Daniel chapter 10.
Verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true. But the time appointed.
Okay,
was
stop right there, Jared. What's going on right there in Daniel 10? I can't see to read it. Read it again for me, Jared. I'm telling you, brother.
Revealed.
I'm getting almost no volume on my end. It's I'm sure it's on my phone.
A thing was revealed unto Daniel. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood.
Okay, so the spirit of the Lord or an angel visits Daniel, and something is revealed to Daniel, and it was true. That's what it says. But it says the thing isn't here yet. It's in the future. So Daniel is revealed in his sleep or wherever it is. He is revealed. Something has been revealed to him that's going to happen, and it's true. He knows that it's true. Okay, got the picture? So now Daniel sees this thing that's coming, just like we're doing all the time here. We're watching and we're trying to warn people what's coming. Daniel sees what's coming, and he begins to appeal to the Lord for help. Go ahead and read that there, Jared. I've got to put it up in my ear so I can hear it.
And he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth.
This will make more sense after I explain this here. For three
sides,
Daniel gets this vision. He knows it's true, and he knows he has a job to warn everybody. So he goes on a 3-week fast. I don't know if you follow. Jared's going to read this to us, and it's going to make more sense. He's not going to eat. He's not going to drink. He's going to appeal to the Lord for the Lord's intervention. That's what's going to go on here. Go ahead and read that, Jared, so that they'll understand. Now, Daniel sees this vision, believes this vision, knows it's coming, and goes on a fast.
All right. 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning. And his eyes...
Okay, stop right there, Jared. Jared, stop there a second. An angel appears to Daniel. Been 24 days. Daniel goes on a fast. He doesn't know it's going to be a 24-day fast. He's looking for this answer from the Lord right away. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this angel shows up. I want you to see two things, a couple things here. First of all, this angel isn't big, fat baby with wings. Notice this angel. Jared, I'm going to have you read that segment again. Notice how this angel is dressed. See, one of the things that they've done to us is they've fairy-tailed everything. Angels are now big, fat little babies with wings that sit on people's laps. Or They're women, these beautiful women. There are no female angels. Angels are for war. So this angel, 24 days, Daniel's been praying for help. 24 days, no food, no drink, constantly in prayer, and all of a sudden, pop, here, pop, goes the angel. So, Jared, read that description again of that angel for us.
All right. Behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl. His face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms.
Can you ask me something? Go ahead, Jared. I'm sorry.
And his arms and his feet, like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words, like the voice of a multitude.
Hey, hang on. Hang on, man. Would that catch your attention, boys? Would that catch your attention? You've been on a 24-day fast. The Lord showed you something. You've been on a 24 prayer and fasting binge, and boom, this dude shows up. Not a little fat guy with wings. This big warring angel with a face like fire. Okay, keep going, Jared. Heading somewhere this morning.
Therefore, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking.
Daniel's only one sees it.
But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was.
Okay, hang on. Hang on. Here's what happens now. So Daniel's there. His angel shows up. Daniel sees him. And nobody else can see him. And then all of a sudden their eyes pop open and they see him. Right. So think about this from a spiritual standpoint now. If we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Think what type of angels are out there, warring angels, ready on our behalf to do war. We can't even begin to understand the spiritual realm. But also, remember, he's fighting somebody. What must the guy he's fighting look like as well? And Jared, I'm sorry to keep walking all over you, brother. I'm just saying this as I pop open. So I'm going to try to let you. I'm going to try to let you go and finish this here, Jared. Go ahead, bud.
All right. Chapter 10, verse 8. Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, and man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood, trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Wow. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But, lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me. neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then he said, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince.
All right, fellas, you get the picture there? 21 days he prays. Angel shows up. And Daniel says, where the heck you been, man? Where the heck have you been? And what did the angel tell him? Hey, dude, I've been fighting 21 days to get here. I had that big dude, the king of Persia. He wouldn't let me through. I fought and fought and fought with him for 21 days, and I finally got through. And I'm here, and I want you to know this, Daniel, that the moment you prayed, the Lord sent me. Boom, go. Go answer that prayer. The moment you prayed, Daniel. But I'm sorry, man. The prince of Persia was there waiting for me. He was a tough dude, and I couldn't get through. And I fought foot with him, and here I am. And I'm going to go back. I got to fight with him some more, but I'm going to go back. Okay, guys, so here is a clear picture of what we would call spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare. Wrestling not against flesh and blood. Now, see, understand, we're not fighting the angel. The angel, is it Michael or Gabriel? I can't see it. Michael. Gabriel's fighting it. He's fighting the spiritual fight for us. That's the purpose of prayer, to dispatch angels to fight their way through. But see, we talked earlier, a couple of weeks ago, everybody kind of laughed at me. You guys didn't, but I got comments from people on my email list and all that kind of stuff, making fun that we're talking about spiritual things, making fun that I'm talking about a wicked spirit in the White House. A wicked spirit is encompassing the White House, folks. All of Washington, D.C. is under the control of demonic spirits. You guys see this? Does anybody see this? Do this. I mean, you see this? Anybody but me understand what's going on here? And see, the idea that we could put Ted Cruz in there, Ted Cruz is going to solve the problem. Come on, man. Come on. No, that's not the way that works. This battle that we're fighting is a spiritual battle. But the problem that we face is most people still do not get it. They think it's a political war. Make America great again. That's what they think. I want to enter today called imprecatory prayer. It's all throughout the Psalms. All throughout the Psalms. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it. Now, here's part of the issue we're dealing with. Christianity has become so sissified. Jared, get Psalm 69 up there for me, Jared. Psalm 69. See, Christianity has become so sissified. Our modern Christian pastors are so sissified that we don't even realize that we're at war. Not only are we at war, they're not even capable of fighting war. They do not understand that God himself has enemies. Yes, we're to love our enemies, but we're not to love the Lord's enemies. And these imprecatory psalms, there's about 11 of them, I think. I gave the list there to Jared, but he'll pop it up there maybe for you in a second. Prayer. I'm going to play a couple clips here for you in a second. We have modern day pastors saying, basically, well, those imprecatory psalms don't apply today because Jesus is now a good guy. He's now a good guy and he wants to love everybody and he doesn't want to turn anybody off from the gospel. So those imprecatory, then I heard one guy say, David is just letting his frustrations out. It's just a moment of frustration for David, although he did it 11 different times. I think it's 11, maybe 13. Imprecatory psalm. Now, what do you mean by imprecatory? Well, we're going to find out here in a second. And again, I can't see on my screen to read it, so Jared's going to have to help me. We're going to find David asking the Lord, sick him, Lord, sick him. Destroy him, Lord. Break their teeth, Lord. Break their bones, Lord. Don't let them win, Lord. This is over and over and over throughout Psalms, at least 13 different times, imprecatory psalm. Now, Jared, all you guys sitting there, I hope you can see the screen. Jared, let's start listening to David. Some of these are long. 35 is one of my favorites. Jared, start reading. Now, think about this. They say, John Piper, I'm going to bring him up here in a second. He says it's just the poor heart of David is just frustrated, and he's just crying out. And you know, we as Christians today, we get it. It's no wonder we're getting our butts kicked, isn't it? And I'm going to tell you, my buddy, Wiley Drake. I don't know if you've heard of Wiley Drake. Pastor Wiley Drake out of Buena Vista, California, is actively engaging in imprecatory prayer army who are praying imprecatory prayers towards those in power. He's praying these psalms. And I got an email from Wiley, and he said this to me. I wish I had a picture of this, Jared. Wiley said, hey, Coach, have you taken a look at the Clintons? They're sickly. Hillary can't even hardly walk. Bill looks like he's 90 years old. He says, Coach, those imprecatory psalms are working. Jared, start reading it to him. Again, I apologize because I can't follow along. I can't hardly hear you, so I have to put the phone up to my ear. I don't know what's going on. Go ahead, Jared.
All right. Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink deep in mire, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for God. It's not working. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. I think I can fix that. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee, Jared, are fallen upon me.
Jared, can you pause a second, Jared?
Yep.
David's laying out for us right now the situation. He's like, everywhere I look, like the hairs number on my head, people hate me without a cause. There's no reason why. They just hate me. David said he's weary. Certainly he is weary. Now see if he prays for the salvation of his enemies. Now that we know what a mess he's in, David's going to get down to the nitty gritty here. He's asking the Lord to do something for him. Now notice this. David's not praying against his enemies. He's praying against the Lord's enemies. David's not taking this personally. He's not saying, hey, go smite Larry. Hey, Lord, Jim said something mean to me. You go smite Jim. No. This is not a personal affront or a personal attack. This is a spiritual assault where David is asking the Lord to destroy the Lord's enemies. Follow this very closely. Go ahead, Jared. Pick up from there. I just want to set that scene.
So verse 9. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit at the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul, and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach, and my shame, and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some pity, some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in thy thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap.
Hey, Jared, stop a second, Jared. I'm sorry. Okay, now, listen, folks. At this point, I'm sorry, I'm having a really hard time here. And at this point, David says, okay, Lord, they've done all this to me. Okay, pal, how about stepping in and doing something for me, Lord? Now, listen what David prays, guys. David ain't praying that their bellies will be full. David isn't praying that everything, all their steps are going to be blessed. David isn't praying that they're going to find the Lord. He ain't praying that. He's made it very clear, these are your enemies, Lord, and they've got me in a corner, and I'm sick and tired of it, and it's time you did something. Listen what David now begins to pray that the Lord will do.
22. Let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate, and let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him without whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor.
Hey, Jared, what are the humble going to see and be glad about?
They will
Anybody?
See that God.
What are the humble going to see and be glad about?
The crushing
of his enemies.
Yeah.
To see it. They're going to be happy to see it. Notice he's not crying. He's not praying for their salvation. He's not praying that they would get their minds right. He says, Lord, crush them. Crush them. Crush them, Lord. Jared, if you can shoot up there on the screen, I don't know how you can do that other than maybe the email I sent you. Show these guys the list of some imprecatory prayers. I just sent it to you as an email, Jared. And flash that up there so these guys, if they're taking notes, they can write them down, because this vein, this attack runs all throughout the Psalms. David regularly praying for the destructions of his enemies. Anybody have anything to add at this point?
All right.
Jared's going to show us those imprecatory prompts. Go ahead, Rich.
I'm on board. I hear you.
What's that?
I'm in total agreement, Coach. Total agreement.
Okay, now we're going to read another one here in a second. Hey, Jared, because I can't see it, and because people who are listening can't see this, read those imprecatory psalms so people can write them down.
All right. So we've got Psalm 5, Psalm 10, Psalm 17, Psalm 35.
Oh, I love that one. We're going to go there in a minute.
Psalm 58, Psalm 59, Psalm 69, Psalm 70, Psalm 79, Psalm 83, Psalm 109, Psalm 129, Psalm 137, and Psalm 140. That's it.
Now, folks, every one of those are known as an imprecatory psalm. Count them for me there, Jared. How many are there?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
14 imprecatory psalms. Now, Jared, I want you to bring up this video of John Piper. John Piper is a very popular speaker, minister, good guy. I mean, he's a good guy. But I want you to listen. It's only about 2 minutes. I want you to listen how John Piper tries to justify what clearly David said 15 different times. Smash him, Lord. Smash him, Lord. Smash him for me, Lord. John Piper thinks Jesus, thinks God got born again in the New Testament, and he doesn't mean this anymore. Go ahead and listen to this. John's a good guy. I'm not poking fun at him, but it's the mindset that we are stuck. Guys, no wonder we're not winning. No, we're not treating the enemy as if he's truly an enemy. We're not treating the enemy as if we're really at war with him. What if you went out and you played a football game and you said, oh, boys, don't tackle him. Don't tackle him. That'd be mean. Oh, boys, no blitzing. No blitzing. This way. That wouldn't be very good. We want them to play their best. And what if you were over there on the other side of the ball and you were praying that your enemy would score? Oh, Lord, bless them. They need a touchdown. So that is foolishness. What if you were in war? What if we were storming Normandy Beach and those guys were climbing up those stiff rocked walls, and as they're climbing up, they're saying, oh, Lord, please let them cut these ropes and kill me. Oh, Lord, please let these guys win. That is foolishness. We're in war. We are in a war. And here's why we're not winning. Go ahead and play this. John Piper, 2 minutes, explaining that David was just frustrated.
Christians have permission to pray imprecatory prayers. I'm sure slow too. I'm thinking of 1 John where it says, there's a sin that is unto death. I do not say that you should pray for that sin. Meaning, if you can discern in somebody that they have sinned in such a way that they are beyond repentance, don't pray for that sin. Don't pray for their forgiveness. Now, I have never known anybody of whom I could say they are so beyond repentance that I will not pray for them. I had a grandmother who I thought probably was in that condition, but I could never bring myself to not pray for her conversion. But that's different, isn't it, than saying, actually pray for their damnation. And the reason I'm hesitant here, and people wonder, why are you hesitant? Just say no. Is because I think I can imagine circumstances where, suppose the Gestapo, or just some contemporary form of it, is sweeping through your neighborhood and in the most brutal way, wiping people out, killing people. I think God stopped them. Do whatever you have to do to stop them. Or when they're in prison, God, this was so wrong. But so I want to say that there may be a time when you're calling down God's judgment on somebody. But here's probably where I'm going to end up. Jesus said, pray, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, bless those who despitefully use you. So I don't think today, without Scripture, being Scripture writers like the psalmists, we should pray for people's damnation. We should bless people, pray for their conversion, or not pray for them if God makes it clear they're not going to be saved.
Is that unbelievable? We have actually John Piper almost apologizing for Jesus. Almost apologizing. Oh, David was just frustrated, you know, gosh darn it. And, you know, if he had a little bit more of the joy of the Lord, and, you know, us, we modern day Christians. And, hey, listen, I change not. And I don't know if you see the danger of this, but here's John Piper, a great religious leader, great spiritual leader in America. And what's he saying? Well, golly, we probably ought to edit those out of there. We probably ought to edit those psalms out of there, because David was just in a bad mood and he was feeling sorry for himself. And that wasn't very Christian of David. Do you see what we're fighting against? Do you understand the dilemma that we find ourselves in? Jared, as you're getting Psalm 35 ready, I want to open the queue. Anybody got anything to jump in here with? Again, I'm sorry, I'm having a terrible time. Go ahead, Matt.
Well,
terrible time hearing.
I think it's the typical double talk from the church. And Satan uses religious leaders to accomplish his goal. There's no doubt about it. And that's one
thing
we're in the shape we're in today.
So we just found out, Matt, that when we read in Daniel, Daniel paints the spiritual war for us. He said, there's really a war going on.
Yeah.
And then I had to fight 3 weeks just to get here. There's a very real war going on. And what's John Piper telling us we're supposed to do? David's just having a bad day. He was just having a bad day. Okay, I'm going to show you another bad day. Hey, Jared, I rather than reading the beginning of this thing, why don't you jump in, Jared, about, I'm guessing now because I can't see it, doggone it. Jump in at about verse 15, and let's see if David's having another bad day here in Israel, wherever he is. Let's see if he's having himself another bad day here. Evidently, he had 15 of them. He had so many bad days that he wrote 15 chapters on his bad days. Let's start about verse 15. I'm just guessing here, Jared, as you're reading it, see where you think would be a good time to start reading when David starts barking to God, hey, take care of these dudes, will you, Lord? Go ahead and find a spot and start reading, Jared.
Well, verse 1 is, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of the shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he hid hath catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. Well, that's pretty much. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, I'm loving it, man. He's going to get down there, Jared, here in a minute. He's going to say, teach my hands to war. You've given me the necks of my enemies. Keep looking for that. Listen to this, folks. This is real spiritual warfare. And remember, David isn't praying for deliverance so much for himself. He's praying for deliverance against the enemy. Kill the stinking enemy. Don't let them do us to your people anymore, Lord. Keep going, Jared. I wish I had my Bible in front of me.
false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily, as one that mourneth for his mother. But in mine
adversity...
David
prayed for his enemies. He prayed for his enemies, David did. He prayed for them. It didn't work.
But in mine adversity they rejoiced, and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear at me, and ceased not. With hypocritical mockers in feasts they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. Neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence, O Lord. Be not far from me. Stir up thyself and awake to my judgment, even unto my cause. My God and my Lord, judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ah, so would we have it? Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at mine hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. That's it.
Anybody, you getting the point? Am I missing something here? Am I missing something? Are we as Christians allowed to pray those imprecatory psalms? Hey, Jared, I can't see. I can't hardly hear for some reason. Jared, go back up to about midway through that. And let's just envision that we were praying this towards our federal government or our federal rulers or our wicked rulers. And just imagine if we directed, if all of America, which is what Wiley Drake says he's been doing, if all of Americans focused their prayers in this manner towards the enemies of God. Now notice this. David said, I prayed for him. I fasted for him, sackcloth and ashes. I did all that stuff. Lord, they're getting worse and worse and worse, and I need some help here. So imagine, Jared, go down maybe, I don't know, because I can't see it real well. Go down about verse 15, let's start praying this imprecatory prayer over these people. Ask the Lord to give them what they deserve. So again, Jared, begin reading right. That. Imagine that we're directing this at the White House and those who occupy the White House and that bevy of beasts that are in the spiritual realm that are destroying everything righteous in this nation. Remember, it's the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. And don't forget that this is not a personal affront against those people, but if they're going to be used by the devil, then we need the Lord to intervene. That's what David is saying here. So here we go. Jared's going to pray an imprecatory prayer over those in government who are seeking to destroy America. Go ahead and pray that, Jared.
Well, verse 12, they rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother. But in my adversity, they rejoiced and gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me, and ceased not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from their lions. I will give thee thanks in great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, for Obama speaks not peace, but devises deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they open their mouth wide.
There, Jared. You can stop. Hey, Jared, you can stop there. I want you to Google. It's one of the imprecatory psalms. Somebody Google. He's giving me the necks of my enemies. Because I want to read. I want you to hear this and see this. It might be Psalm 15. I'm not sure which one it is. He has given me the necks of my enemies. I want you to hear this psalm, the cry of David's heart. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart, right?
All right,
I've got it. Have you found it, Jared?
Yep.
Where is it? Just start, I think it's Psalm 15, I think.
Psalm 18.
Psalm 18, there you go. Start reading that, Jared. You don't have to start at the beginning, because we know in the beginning he laments the bad situation I'm in. And Lord, I'm so sorry. And I wish I didn't have to feel like this, Lord, but I really do feel like this. And they're kicking my butt, and I don't deserve it. And all I'm doing is trying to stand up for you, and I can't hardly win. So since I can't hardly win, do this for me, Lord. What's he pray the Lord will do, Jared?
All right. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my hands, he keeps my hands. All right, here we go. He maketh my feet like hind's feet, and setteth me upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that the bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them, that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt into the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. That's it.
So help me out here. David just feeling down? David just in a bad mood? David not only praying for victory, but praying he's going to crush his enemies? What are you thinking there, Larry? Weigh in here a minute.
He's eating.
Coach, while we're waiting on Larry, this shouldn't be our first choice, but it is a backup and it's conditional. It can be done. Yes? Am I reading that right?
No.
Okay.
I think it is a first choice to pray for the destruction of our enemies. Pray. He's listen, guys. This is not a personal affront. This is not me being mad at JR because something JR said to me. And because JR said something to me, I want the Lord to get even with JR. David's saying, Lord, they're destroying everything here. They're destroying marriage. They're killing babies. They're shooting pornography over the internet. They're killing our marriages. Lord, these guys are having destruction everywhere. Lord, do something about it. Do break their teeth. Break their teeth. That's what I think, JR. That's what I think. And remember this. The Lord tells us in Isaiah that it bothered him. That wasn't the right word. That there was no justice. Justice. That's what David's crying out. David is not crying out for a personal revenge against his personal enemies. I got a truck coming by here. Anybody want to weigh in?
Well,
where that truck is, I can't hear you.
I think you got it, Coach.
Trying to get in here or drive? Yeah.
No, I think we're all good.
Why do we, guys, listen, why do we have such a hard time rectifying or justifying the God of the Old Testament with the God of the New Testament? Why is that so hard for us? Why do we think that now that Jesus has come, he's into defeat? Well, let's just love our enemies and let them win everything. Let's let them win because God is love and God loves everybody. And if we're mean and if we fight back, they may never come to know Jesus. And we all know that it's all about winning souls. And as a result, with JR, come on, man. That's exactly where our churches are. Our churches won't stand up and fight for the Lord. Our churches won't stand up and fight for his principles. Our churches want to be loved. They want people to think that they're nice people. They don't want any conflict at all. And when we see conflict, as we just saw there in Psalms, what's the response? Well, David's just having a bad day. He's just frustrated. Just having a bad day. You trying to get in here, Larry?
Yeah, you know, in James, I believe it is, you read that you have not because you ask not, and you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss. You know, there's those that pray that, bring everybody to Jesus, bring everybody to Jesus. Now, I'm just telling you right now, those of you out there that pray, bring everybody to Jesus, just look at yourselves for just a second. Because what you're praying is, Jesus, let me make you a liar. Because Jesus clearly tells us most of the folks on the face of the earth, go back to Matthew chapter 7, are going to go down the wide road that leads to destruction. He said it's going to happen. And anything you do or I do is not going to change what Jesus said from being true to being a lie. It's not going to happen. Jesus didn't lie. So stop praying for things that's going to make Jesus a liar. Please stop it.
That's well said. Thank you, Larry. Hey, Mike, help me out. How much time do I have? My clock's not working here.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay, I want to ask you this question. Huh? What should be our prayer for Hillary Clinton? Huh? Oh, Lord, please elect her. Lord. Oh, what should be our prayer for Uma Abedin? What should be our prayer for Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid? Oh, Lord, please bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. See, I'm not talking about a personal affront. They are destroying this nation. And the church, dare I say this word, the church militant, meaning spiritually militant, the church spiritually militant is rolled over like a pussycat and wants to have its belly rubbed. We're at war. 15 imprecatory psalms from David And John Piper tells us, just depressed. Well, really? Then why did they put it in this? Why did they put it in the Psalms 15 different times? I challenge you here, guys, over the next couple days. Just read those. Just read those. And again, JR, it's not a personal affront. I can't pray damnation on you just because you did something made me mad. But when I see what the wicked are doing and they are destroying the evil, then I believe it's okay to pray imprecatory prayer. Anybody take us home?
Yeah, well, Coach, I think it's more like you're kind of praying. You're like, look, if they be workers of iniquity, destroy them if they be. If they be righteous, if they are righteous, then bless them. You know, bless them. But if they are workers of iniquity, you know, kill them. You know, burn it down. You know, destroy it. That's how
Amen,
I do that.
Brother. Hey, Jared, listen, got to run on this. Hey, folks, listen. Here in a few weeks, it's a couple months out, 3 months, 4 months out. The Ohio State Buckeyes are going to play Michigan. I can't even hardly say that word. Buckeyes are going to play Michigan. I'm going to tell you something. I'm praying damnation on Michigan. I ain't praying for them. I ain't praying that they're going to play good and they're good. Their passes are going to be accurate and they're going to break all of our tackles. I ain't praying that. I'm praying for fumbles and interceptions and broken jaws. That's what I'm praying for. Why? Because we're at war. Coach Dave, hey, we're fighting all the technical issues. We're doing the best we can. Huh? Jesus didn't get born again in the New Testament. He came to fulfill the scriptures, not do away with it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.